I'll never do it, but that's really mean.
Okay, good afternoon. I'm opening a meeting of the House Higher Ed and Workforce Development Committee on Tuesday, April 18th, 2017. Welcome to the last committee meeting before the first chamber deadline. Kind of like last day of school almost. We have nine bills to be worked today. We plan to go more or less in the order that is printed on your agendas, and we'll start with an exception to that right away. So we have an honored guest, Rep. Doherty, and so I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2701. Laura, could you please provide a committee with a brief summary of the bill?
And the dishonorable.
Two honored guests.
Oh, we have. We're even more honored.
Yes. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2701 would prohibit the Higher Education Coordinating Commission from placing career school or agent on probation or suspending or revoking license unless contested case hearing is instituted and sanction is authorized by the hearing officer. There is a -4 amendment on OLIS that replaces the measure. The amendment simply changes terminology from place a licensee on probation to issue a notice for corrective action. There's no revenue impact on the -4. It has minimal fiscal impact and no subsequent committee referral.
Okay, it looks like we have folks that would like to say a few words this afternoon. Rep. Doherty.
Thank you. We'll keep it brief. For the record, I'm Margaret Doherty, State Representative from House District 35, which is Tigard in Southwest Portland. And actually, today I'm here to speak again in support of this bill, but the -3s, which we understand that the paperwork was not done for the -3s. And so I'm going to mention a little bit about why we think that the -3s are so important and then encourage you to hopefully talk to your colleagues on the in that other chamber, and so they will go through and adopt it. But I think it's very, very important with the -3s is that no matter what you do, you should be able to have some sort of a due process, some sort of a hearing before. You should have a hearing to know exactly what you did wrong, maybe, and that's the thing I think is most important. But I think that the very basic questions are, for your private institutions that are degree granting, get some sort of a due process with a hearing and so on if they're put on probation or whatever, and the private career colleges that are, you know, for lack of a better word, the two-year colleges are not given that opportunity. And so that's what we were asking for in the -3s. In fact, the -3s went through and said, when notice and suspension or revocation is issued, or if the commission determines that a notice of a correction action is issued, and we appreciate them working together to change the word probation to corrective action, the licensee shall be notified and upon request shall be granted a contested case hearing under ORS 183, blah, 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 prior to any further action by the commission. And that's all that we are asking on this. And hopefully, a little mix up with paperwork that we can do this on the other side. And that I think is very, very important. These are very important educational institutions for people that get out, get in the workforce, decide they love what they're doing, and go through and get even more education. So with that, I will pass it along to my colleague.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair. Sal Esquivel, Representative District 6, Medford. This particular instance happened in my district. I went there and got my broker's license for real estate at Abdell. In fact, Annette was the teacher back in those days. But what bothered me the most about this was the procedure, or lack thereof. The other thing that bothered me was the fact that we made it public, even though no one was confirmed of any wrongdoing. We set that out publicly, and that's wrong. That's smearing your reputation, especially in a school. And I think it's unconscionable, and I think it's beneath contempt. I would like to see us correct this situation because folks, it just isn't right.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. Nancy Hungerford, I have appeared before you before, representing Kai, and Kai is here today. She's the owner of the school. I want to echo what Senator Representative Doherty said, and that is that the -4 version will not correct the problem. I understand there are procedural issues about what action you can take today, but 2-4 only changes the word probation to corrective action. It does not add any level or amount of due process in these cases. What does due process mean? It's the opportunity to have your say before a independent hearings officer, to bring out facts, to bring people in who can testify as to what really is going on. And that is missing when a school that doesn't grant degrees is placed on probation or corrective action. And then further, one more thought, because she has to report to her accreditation organization, the National Accreditation Organization, whatever action the state group is taking. She had to report that she was placed on probation. It was only through a great deal of conversation and, frankly, quite miraculous that they did not take her accreditation away, because the investigation that was done by HEC was defective, I would have to say. She just did not have that opportunity to correct the record. So those are the problems, along with the TV publicity that went on for weeks. So I think that we urge that you take whatever action you can to put that due process in place. And if it's not possible because of the lack of any kind of a fiscal impact statement, although I don't believe there really would be a difference in fiscal impact here, then we will have to take this to the Senate. We would appreciate the fact that we will be asking for your support at that juncture. I think Kai has only a few words that she wants to say to you.
I'm not sure where to start.
We just need your name for the record, and then that always gets people started.
I'm not very good at speaking in front of groups. My name is Kai, and I'm the owner-director of Abdel Career College in Medford, Oregon. Thank you for the opportunity, Mr. Chairman, and all committee members for letting me have a few minutes to speak. I've sent a lot of emails with relaying a lot of the experiences or touching on some of the experiences that happened in my particular case to you, and I don't want to repeat all of those same things to you and waste your time. Mostly, I want to say thank you for all of the support and the willingness to at least hear the things about what this bill is about, and ask for your, the collective wisdom of this committee is exemplary, and your constituents, our future and our hope is in your hands, and what happens with us is, the words that you put into play to help us in our futures. The words you put into play in your laws are what we rely on throughout all the rest of the years. And it's so critical that we have the right to request a hearing if we think we need it. Every other class of people in this world seem to have, or in Oregon, seem to have the right to request a hearing except private career schools. And we so desperately need it. It's not that we would use it every time we turn around. It's just that it would be available should we have a need to access it. And that's my appeal to you, is from my heart, please help us to accomplish just getting this basic, simple right in place. Thank you.
And I would point out there are approximately 200 private career colleges, and I would imagine that in every one of your districts there are small business people like Kai who are operating these private career colleges.
There are.
Well, thank all of you for testifying. I'm interested in continuing the conversation on this issue. I think it's a very important one. I want to work the bill and the amendment that we have, because I think it's an improvement, and then further work and continue on the other end of the building. It'd be great.
Thank you much for consideration.
Thank you. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the -4 amendment dated 4/12/2017 into House Bill 2701.
Rep. Wisnett moves to adopt the -4 amendment dated 4/12/2017. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Oops.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to be sure that people testifying that we were not able to further work, as I don't know the chair made it clear, but we don't have the paperwork, so if we don't pass the dash four, the bill dies. So be sure you understand that, because the chair has worked hard on this, I know. So.
Rep. Bynum?
Thank you. I was going to ask that exact question. So the only option on the table is the dash four.
Either that or not work it at all.
Or nothing at all. And then I wanted to express that when I talked with Representative Kenemer, he was not happy with the dash four, and he said that it did not provide due process. And to me, that is very important. And I think if the work is going to be done to clean up the bill on the Senate side, that the committee sends a message that if it is so inclined, to make sure that due process is included in that. Yeah. The last point I wanted to make is there's nowhere, when we have employment hearings, the employee is always offered progressive discipline. They are always offered an opportunity for due process. And why that wouldn't extend to educational institutions, businesses, defies logic. And so I'm going to fight every way that I can to make sure that everyone in the state has due process. So.
Okay. Anybody else? And I'm happy to help if that would be helpful.
Thank you.
Okay.
Is there any objection?
That's it. Okay. Any objections? If not, the amendment is adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2701 as amended to the floor of a due pass recommendation.
Rep. Wisnett moves House Bill 2701 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Okay. Roll call, please.
Representative Bynum?
Aye.
Representative Clem?
Aye.
Representative
Hurd?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Reschke?
Aye.
Representative Solomon?
Aye.
Vice Chair Longley?
Aye.
Vice Chair Wiggins?
Aye. Chair Reagan? And I would suggest anybody feel free to speak on this on the floor as well.
Having said that, you need to vote.
I am. I'm getting there.
Oh. Aye.
Motion passes. We got a new procedure here.
Switching it up.
Yeah.
One down.
I'm slow, but
okay.
All right.
I'm getting there.
The fun group, isn't it?
Where do we have our committee?
Okay. All right, we're going to kick it off with your bill, Rep. Johnson, on subject of credit transfers. You and your helper have worked very hard on this. So, House Bill, I'm opening a work session on House Bill 2998.
Can we just pre-vote no?
Can we present the amendment to you? Down here? Is that okay?
If wherever you're comfortable.
We'll do it down here. Who's carrying the bill, Dina? What did you say? Permission, Chair, I'll call up my helper, who's also known as my chief of staff, Cassie Haight.
The boss.
Didn't mean to be so formal with the language.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee members, for the record, Mark Johnson from House District 52. I'm really, really excited and pleased to be able to be here today, because I really think that we're on the threshold of accomplishing really something really significant for higher ed in Oregon. As I said, when we had our informational hearing on this bill back, I think on February 28th, if my date is correct, I mentioned then that this is an idea or a need, a topic that's been in front of this committee for as long as I've been a part of it, all four sessions. We have had a systemic problem in Oregon with credit transfer, specifically from colleges to universities. And there can be a variety of reasons for that. And I'm not pointing fingers or saying that certain parties are at fault, but I'm just saying the system hasn't been set up such to give certainty to students that if you start and if you work hard and if you do what you're asked to do, that you're going to have a pathway forward to success to get a degree. So I think we've crossed some real good thresholds here, and that's what you have before you in the dash two amendments of House Bill 2998. But I will just
say for the committee, this is a committee bill. There's nobody's name on this bill, so we all can take pride in this work. But I will say that we had a good work group process and attendance. So we had, myself was there, Representative Alonso de Leon was there to appear. Our community colleges are represented, the universities, the President's Council, administrative faculty, and of course Kyle from the HEC was a part of these groups too. We had some rigorous discussions because, again, we're dealing with a topic here. If it was easy to do, probably would have been accomplished sessions ago, but it hasn't been. And as I mentioned, I think back on February 28th, in those states where they have some policies in place like this, it really did come down to legislative action that got it across the finish line. Left to their own devices, you know, there's good wills and good intentions, but it's just hard to get there. So we're at that point in Oregon where I think we're ready to cross that threshold. And we began by framing the problems. What are the problems? What is it that's keeping credit transfer from being as seamless as it should? We identified the challenges that needed to be overcome. The group really worked hard to try to get to yes. I mean, that was where I think the atmosphere, the mindset of all the participants was, what do we have to get to an agreement? And then what does it take to construct a framework for how the process will proceed now as we move forward, and what measurable outcomes will be accomplished within a specific time frame? So, again, this bill has specific outcomes related to credit transfer that will be accomplished within specific dates, and it's in the dash two. So I'll just start by talking about, and in general here, about sections one and two. Again, we begin with the very basics, where we're going to go back to the drawing board, and the colleges and universities are going to come together to create a foundational curricula, which can be up to at least, has to be at least 30 credits, all right? We're going to agree on a bucket of credits that are at least 30, could be 45, could be, but at least 30, that will be universally used for transfer throughout the system. This is a major step forward. We've had the Oregon Transfer Module in place before, but keep in mind, this is only in rule. It's not a statutory requirement. There hasn't been statutory agreement about what that actually involves. So this is a major step forward. Going beyond that, then, there will be a process convened by the HEC. Actually, the HEC will convene all of these processes, but there will be a process then for determining, for a specific number of degree pathways, how can we identify the degree, the credits to be accomplished to where if a student begins at the community college level, determines that they want to go into this major, what are the credits they need to grab at the community college level so that they can transfer, and when they enter the university, they're guaranteed junior status with the expectation that in most areas, not all, but in most degree pathways, you're only going to need to acquire another 90 credits for your bachelor's degree. So that's, in a nutshell, what the bill does. I'll let Cassie fill in some of the details, because said on multiple occasions, you could take my name off the door, put her name there, and House District 52 would be far better served. But
not true. For the record, Cassie Haight, Chief of Staff for Representative Mark Johnson. So I'm actually just going to start by reviewing Section 3 of the Dash 2 amendments. You'll find in there new language creating a unified transfer agreement for each major as designated by the HEC. So that's an individual statewide transfer agreement for a major that allows, the convening process will create a bucket of credits. You get these at the community college, you transfer to the public university, guarantees that you will not lose any credit in your major. As long as you take those credits, transfer them to the public university, you will not lose any credit in your major, and all of those courses will be applied to your major. So those are the two main things highlighted in the Unified Transfer Agreement. The foundational curricula will be the first 30 credits, and then the remaining credits beyond that will be discussed by the work group convened by the HEC. There's sort of two pathways that a unified transfer agreement can take. One is 90 credits at a community college and then 90 plus at a university. Or there can be an optimal transfer point established for a major where maybe the first year of credits is taken at a community college and then that student transfers to a public university. That's more for very specified and particular majors that have really articulated requirements that it allows the student to have better success if they transfer to the university sooner. And the HEC will convene all of these processes, as Representative Johnson said. And then Section 4 actually outlines the timeline for the first three unified transfer agreements to be established, which is December 1st, 2018, April 1st, 2019, December 1st, 2019, and the foundational curriculum is prior to all of that in fall of 2018. After December 1st, 2019, three majors will be established within a unified transfer agreement, but we didn't put a timeline on that. So three have to be done per year, and the HEC will continue to convene that process. There's no timeline on that. I would say that in section 6 and 8, you'll see a lot of reporting between the institutions back to the legislature and between the HEC back to the legislature. There'll be a lot of emphasis on data collection to try and understand why students lose credits. Again, we had a focus just on community college students transferring to a public university. I'm sure you've all heard, in February that there's a lot of swirl that happens between students transferring or trying to move between institutions. So we'll try and catch some of that, but we just couldn't in this bill. But part of the data will help support addressing those issues later on. And I think that's pretty much the bulk of the bill that we wanted to highlight. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Well, I'd really like to thank both of you, but especially your chief of staff on what a great job, because this, I do think of this as one of the major accomplishments for this committee. We heard early on how, you know, students are just struggling with debt, and one of the main reasons is they're taking 6 years to complete a four-year program. So really optimistic that this will help them. We may not be able to afford to fund schools properly, but at least we can help them get through in a timely manner. So no editorializing here.
Thank you, Chair. And I want to also make sure that folks understand that there's a lot of work that's going to go beyond this bill. And I want to just kind of preface that, because it's going to take a lot of energy from our faculty in our institutions, because they're the ones who are going to be carrying it, essentially. And so I just want to acknowledge that it's going to take a lot of energy, sweat, and tears, because it's going to take time. So I just want to say thank you ahead of time, because I know it's going to take all of our institutions to work together. Appreciate that.
Yeah, very good point, Representative and Chair Reardon. I would just mention, too, there is a fiscal attached to the bill. It's still a little bit to be determined. I will say that the colleges, it's so important to them that they have said that we will do our work without putting a fiscal on it. So we do have a little fiscal from the universities and a little fiscal from the HEC, but again, that's to make sure that there's adequate resources for the time that faculty are going to have to leave their universities to work together in a collaborative environment, just as you said, to hammer this out. But everybody, I think, is really working in a good faith relationship, and there's sincere desire, I think, to see this be successful. And I'm really thankful for all the participants.
And I think we owe a lot of thanks to people at HEC and the universities.
Absolutely.
And the community colleges already for the work that's been done.
Yeah.
The spirit with which they've approached this is recognizing, as we did, that it's time to get it done.
Yes.
And so thank you for leading that. Rep. Alonzo Long, thank you for your help on this as well. So appreciate that. So.
Just a small contribution. Should we move forward?
Okay, I think we're ready for motion.
Awesome. Chair Reardon, I move to adopt -2 amendment dated 4/13/2017.
Rep. Alonzo Leon moves to adopt the -2 amendment dated 4/13/2017. Any discussion? Okay, left, looking right. If not, the amendment is adopted.
Chair Reardon, I move HB 2998 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Joint Ways and Means Committee on Ways and Means. Excuse me.
Rep. Alonzo Leon moves House Bill 2998 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and it be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Any discussion? Rep. Johnson.
Chair, we would love to just get on the record that I'm sure our good colleague, Representative Wisnett, will take good care of this bill in the Joint Ways and Means Subcommittee.
I'll fight.
He makes many contributions, and we count on him for that. So. Okay, if no further discussion, will the clerk call a roll, please?
Representative Dunn? Aye.
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 Aye. I'm. The motion passes and the bill is sent as amended to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. I am closing the work session on House Bill 2998. Okay, I'm opening a work session on House Bill 3437. Laura, would you please provide the committee with a brief summary of the bill?
Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3437 would require the State Workforce Investment Board to convene various entities and create a talent development plan. There is a Dash 1 amendment that replaces the measure. It changes terminology in compliance with the Federal Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. It adds legislative findings and declarations regarding workforce development. It requires the board to convene and engage senior executives of key industries, the Oregon Business Development Commission, the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, the Oregon Department of Education, the Bureau of Labor and Industries, the STEM Investment Council, local workforce development boards, the Oregon Employment Department, Oregon Department of Human Services, Commission for the Blind, the Chief Education Office, Youth Development Council, and other partners to determine challenges and opportunities in developing talent pipelines in key industries and occupations, to establish talent pipeline infrastructure and utilize sector partnerships. It requires the board to coordinate these entities to create a single unified state workforce talent and development plan and repeals the Oregon Talent Council statutes. There's no revenue impact for this bill. It has minimal fiscal impact, and there's no subsequent committee referral.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendment dated 4-12-2017 to House Bill 3437.
Rep. Wisnant moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendment dated 4-12-2017. Any discussion? If no objections, the amendment is adopted.
Chair Reardon, I move House Bill 3437 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Rep. Wisnant moves House Bill 3437 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? I just wanted to comment a word of thanks to all agency staff that were involved in helping develop this bill. Just tremendous dedication and support, and I really appreciate that. And anybody that looked at the bill and wondered how did it get from 5 or 6 pages to 80 some, that is mainly conforming some of the language of the underlying bill. So it's changing the name of OWIB to our new improved name. So that's explanation for that. It takes 80 some pages to do that. So. Anyway, any other discussion? Here, roll call, please.
Representative Bynum?
Aye.
Representative Clem?
Aye.
Representative Hurd?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Reschke?
Aye.
Representative Solomon?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lanzillon?
Aye.
Vice Chair Wissett?
Aye.
Chair Reardon?
Aye. The motion passes, and I think I'd like to carry that. Oh, yeah. Thank you. I'm closing the work session on House Bill 3437. I'm opening a work session on House Bill 3288. And Laura, could you give us a summary on that?
Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3288 would require each public institution of higher education to submit an annual report to the Higher Education Coordinating Commission related to non-instructional professional staff. There's a Dash 1 that replaces the measure. It adds introductory statements relating to the purpose of the bill, requires each public institution of higher education to submit report to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means as part of institution's budget presentation during the regular session in an odd-numbered year, specifies each report must be a concise narrative that identifies legislative mandates imposed on institutions, impact of legislative mandates on costs of higher education at the institution, causes of increase in administrative positions occurring at the institution, and actions taken at the institution to monitor and control cost drivers. There's no impact, revenue impact to this bill. It has minimal fiscal impact, no subsequent committee referral.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you. Rep. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to thank Rep. Wisnett for his work on this. I think it's it seems like something we should have been doing long ago, but unfortunately I don't think it happens enough to talk about legislative actions and how they are impacting the cost of higher ed and how they are resulting in higher debt burden for students. So it's long overdue, and I want to just applaud my colleagues' efforts on this bill.
Totally agree with that. Thank you.
Mr. Chair,
yep.
I'm going to have to admit I made a mistake, however, but in the dash one that we redid the bill, and I appreciate the work by the lobby for the four-year universities. The bill was supposed to be for four-year university. It's not clear that that's what the bill is. The community colleges will not object to passing the dash one and the bill, and we'll get it corrected, but it's the intent was to do the four-year schools first.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Would entertain a motion.
Okay. Chair Reardon, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendment dated 4/17/2017.
Thank you. Rep. Alonzo Leon moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendment dated 4/17/2017. Any discussion? No. Any objection? Seeing none, the amendment is adopted.
Chair Reardon, I move HB 3288 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Rep. Alonzo Leon moves House Bill 3288 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Okay, roll call, please.
Bynum?
Aye.
Representative Clem?
Aye.
Representative Kerr?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Rushkey?
Aye.
Representative Solman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lonsley-Young?
Aye.
Vice Chair Wisnett?
Aye.
Chair Reardon?
Aye. Motion passes. And Rep. Wisnett, would you carry?
Yes, sir.
All right. And I'm closing the work session on House Bill 3288. And I'm opening a work session on House Bill 2582. And Laura, could you give us an update on that?
Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2582 would establish the University Research Fighting Fund, defines qualifying grants as federal research monies offered to post-secondary institutions on a competitive basis, and with requirement that post-secondary institution must provide additional monies from private industry, state, or other sources in order to receive federal funds. There's a Dash 1 amendment posted on OLIS that deletes the $20 million appropriation. It requires the legislative fiscal officer, in consultation with the legislative revenue officer, to report to the Joint Interim Committee on Ways and Means no later than January 15th of each even-numbered year the general fund ending balance from prior biennium following transfer to the Oregon Rainy Day Fund. Requires Legislative Assembly to consider the report during regular sessions held during an even-numbered year and to determine whether the transfer amount necessary to ensure the fund balance is equal to $20 million. Requires Legislative Assembly to use the report to determine whether transfer an amount necessary to ensure the fund balance is equal to $5 million in 2018, $10 million in 2020, and $15 million in 2022. Creates a sunset in 2023.
Thanks, Laura. I think that pretty well explains it, but just in case anybody has any questions about how we could be asking for $20 million, which I personally think is a great idea, and get a zero fiscal on it, Jock, would you introduce yourself and explain that?
Thank you. I think we still have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means, so this is not going straight to the floor. For the record, I'm Jock Mills, Director of Government Relations for Oregon State University. I'm here representing all eight universities, including OHSU, who support this bill. So the way this works is it was originally a $20 million lump sum that got done automatically, all done by computer, on January 1st of every even-numbered year. And what we did was, rather than one $20 million big lump sum, we're building it up by stair step, starting with five, and each subsequent year going up another five. During the first year, if somebody gets a grant, an institution gets a grant, we could still go through the HEC process and draw that down, but it still goes up by five each biennium. I thought it would be useful, and in addition to it being automatic, we actually posed the question to the even-numbered legislature, because you know how much money you have that's transferring in even-numbered years. So next February, we'll be in front of you saying, hey, will you approve this $5 million going into this fund? So you approve this each 5 years. It's not done automatically. So those are the two big changes that happened from the bill that you saw when we came in earlier this month. I did want to give you one item of perspective. I appreciate the questions we had about dividends or maybe putting something into the fund. We looked at OSU only. That's the data that we had. Based on the federal grants that we've received in 2016, over $200 million, the employees who were hired, basically, who earned their salaries from those grants, paid $3.7 million to the state treasury in income taxes. So if you double that for the biennium, we're basically paying for this solely by OSU in terms of income taxes. We're putting in that $7.4 million. So this this puts us in a higher level, a higher playing field in terms of being able to compete for federal grants because we can show a match, and I appreciate your consideration of giving us this additional tool.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you for your work on this. Ready for a motion.
Okay. Chair Reardon, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendment dated 4-12-2017.
Rep. Alonzo Leon moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendment dated 4-12-2017. Any discussion? Okay. With no objections, the amendment is adopted.
Chair Reardon, I move HB 2582 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Rep. Alonzo Leon moves House Bill 2582 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that it be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Any discussion at this point? Rep. Sloan.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to say that this is exciting to be able to look at this this House bill and know that the collaborative work put together by all our universities and what this can mean for our students and moving forward for our research projects in Oregon. I think it's exciting work. So.
Great. Appreciate the comments. Anybody else? Okay. Seeing none, clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
Representative
Hurd?
Aye.
Representative
Aye.
Representative
Solman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lonzo?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Aye.
Motion passes. Bill is sent as amended to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. And I'm closing a work session on House Bill 3288. 2582. Okay. That's why we check these off. Okay, I'm opening a work session on House Bill 3337. Laura, could you provide the committee with a brief summary?
Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 3337 would create a limited landscape construction professional license. There's a Dash 3 amendment that replaces the measure. It requires State Landscape Contractors Board to issue limited landscape construction professional license to person who pays non-refundable application fee and license fee, allows license holder to perform work on landscape jobs where amount charged for job does not, within any 12-month period, exceed $8,000, requires business to disclose $8,000 annual limit on all contracts and business cards, prohibits license holder from planning, installing, maintaining, or repairing a deck or arbor attached to a dwelling, and clarifies licensed limited landscape construction professional may perform all phases of landscape construction work. There's no revenue impact, there's indeterminate fiscal and fee revenue impact, and no subsequent committee referral.
Thank you. Any... I think we're ready.
Chair Reardon, I move to adopt the Dash 3 amendment dated 4-13-2017 to House Bill 3337.
Okay. Rep. Wisnant moves to adopt the Dash 3 amendment dated 4-13-2017. Any discussion? Rep. Bynum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to say I think there's broad consensus that we could use a little more structure to the bill, a little more framework, and
I think the bill as it is, from a policy perspective, from a top-down view, kind of gets at what we were hoping to achieve, which was some additional inroads into the business. But I think that there are some concerns that we can address on the Senate side. It is not perfect. I don't know that any bill is, but I think at least I am open to making some amendments on the Senate side.
Anybody else? And before I vote or go any further, I'd like to say a few words as well. I think there are several reasons to support this bill. And first, I believe the committee has worked extremely well together, openly discussing ideas. Nobody's playing games up here, and everybody shows respect. And I think, and I don't pretend to speak for the entire committee, but I think we all recognize and value Representative Hurd's commitment to this bill. And I appreciate Rep. Hurd's willingness to amend this bill to alleviate some of the concerns we've heard. He amended the bill to require notice of limits of the license and to not allow construction of decks and other structures that would be attached to a dwelling. But to be clear, I would have preferred also, as Rep. Bynum mentioned, to see a bill that clearly describes the scope of work and it prescribed a test based on a limited scope of work. I would encourage work toward that end in the Senate. I also think that we have to recognize that supporters of this bill, including many in my caucus, recognize that there's a market demand for landscaping services that is often unmet, or in some cases, the demand is being filled by individuals with no license. This bill allows people with a limited license to compete openly to meet market demands for their services. And more importantly, in my opinion, it allows hardworking people an opportunity to prosper as never before. So having said all of this, I'm more than happy to work on it additionally in the Senate side. I think there's good reasons to do that, but I will be voting, not to signal anybody, but I will be voting aye for this bill. Oops. Rep. Solomon, didn't realize you wished to speak. So.
That's okay. I just wanted to say that I appreciate and I want to thank the colleagues that have worked so hard on this, specifically our chief sponsors, and specifically Rep. Hurd has really put a lot of work into this bill. I am proud to sponsor this bill because this is workforce development. And I'm happy to be able to vote aye on this bill. One concern that I did want to get, you know, out there and be able to share is that if this bill gets implemented, which a lot of us have basically spoke to this, I just want to make sure that we are very careful to address the consumer protection part of things. And just to make sure that our homeowners aren't ending up at risk. That was just a real concern for me when I was going through my thought process on this. And in particular, I just want to note that I do have particular concerns around significant irrigation or significant construction projects that could be done under the scope allowed here. But I'm hopeful that we can just find ways to work on this as we move forward. So.
And Rep. Alonzo Leon.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I also want to acknowledge the work of our chief sponsors, particularly Rep. Hurd and Bynum, who's joined him in these efforts. I really appreciate just the effort and helping increase access and the opportunity for entrepreneurship. I think that's really, really important, creating opportunity for folks who was really glad that we had a witness who was able to tell us a lot of these folks have been doing this line of work for many, many years. And this is a skill that folks have. And I think it's great. This is a great opportunity to give them that opportunity to create their own businesses. I've shared with both the two sponsors on making sure that we are very transparent, that there is a that folks know who have this level of licensure, that that they're clear about their scope of work, what they can and can't do. Certainly, I'm going to echo what Representative Reardon has mentioned around the licensure, that they do still have to take some sort of, and I mentioned this to Representative Bynum, I would say probably similar to what other folks have done with the natural hair, testing, that there's a modification of the actual certification so that it addresses the specific skills folks who are going to be doing the different scope of work. So it's very specific. And I am absolutely going to support this bill. I think it's very important to our community and all the folks who benefit from these skills in making our yards look beautiful.
Real quick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to comment on the work done here. About 2011 or so in the ag world, we started approaching some of these similar topics. I kind of think of it as like cottage industry exemptions or ways in that aren't the normal traditional structure. And it's particularly, I think, noteworthy for Representative Hurd to work on it because he's in the industry. And I was in a similar position when I started looking at these things because we're fruit growers. We sell lots of fruit all over the place. And we started getting into exemptions to allow people to go and do things at farmers markets without a commercial kitchen, without commercial license. And there was some risk there because it's food that people are eating. And at the time, we had a legislator who was interested, and we have not had problems. It doesn't mean there were never going to be problems, but it's now been 6 years since we passed some of these exemptions. I think Representative Johnson was against me on that one.
Bathtub jam bill?
Yeah, the bathtub the bathtub bill. That. And we've had other bills where, like, people were illegally doing businesses because they could not afford a license for, I think it was chicken slaughtering.
And that's exactly right.
And these young guys would come in front and they said, look, I'm doing it anyway. I'd rather do it just FYI, and thinking, oh boy.
Yeah.
But I do feel it's appropriate to bring people out of the shadows sometimes when they're trying to get started, find a path to get in, make a more competitive environment. But I do want to say, I know it's hard when it's your own industry, because I had the Farm Bureau, who we've been members of since the day it was founded, trying to kill my bill. The food processor's trying to kill my bill. And it's awkward when it's your own industry that you'd work with, generally speaking, quite well. But I do think it's important. I think there's got to be pathways for little startups to get into things and creating a way that doesn't put consumers at major risk but informs them that this is a limited license so they know, and then let them decide if they can stomach it or not is a good way to go. And it has not been disastrous in the ag world so far.
Okay. Bull Ripper.
I'm going to be quick. I just wanted to thank the committee for suffering through this process with me. So. It really means a lot to me.
Okay.
Well, Chair Reardon, I move House Bill 3337 as amended to the floor of a due pass recommendation.
I think we need to back up. I think I need to approve the amendment. So the amendment is adopted. And now, if you would say that again.
Chair Reardon, I move House Bill 3337 as amended to the floor of a due pass recommendation.
Rep. Wisnant moves House Bill 3337 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair,
Mr. Chair, I'll be a courtesy yes in the committee only.
Okay. Thank you. And Rep. Johnson.
Mr. Chair, I can be a yes today too, but I just want to say though that I appreciate what Representative Hurd's doing here. I think there is a need in certain sectors for this. I guess my concern is that if this process would grow. To our next session, we have folks coming into the building trade professions and looking at some of those occupations and tasks and so forth, and wondering if we would apply the same sort of logic and reasoning there. So I've been around the process a while. I see how some of these processes go, so I certainly hope we don't. As we start getting into painting and drywall and other trades, but again, entry-level trades into the building profession. So I'm not quite sure what I'll do on the floor yet, but I can be yesterday.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Appreciate that. Okay. I think we're ready. No further discussion. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bynum?
Aye.
Representative Flynn?
Aye.
Representative Hurst?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Dreske?
Aye.
Representative Solman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lanzillo?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lizett?
Aye.
Chair Reardon?
Aye. Motion passes. Rep. Hurd, would you please carry this bill?
Thank you. It would be more entertaining, probably.
Thank you. Oh, closing the work session on House Bill 3337. And opening a work session on House Bill 2929. And I'll let Laura, if you want, go ahead and say a few words.
Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2929 would address student loan debt with various programs. There's a Dash 3 amendment that deletes student loan refinancing guarantee program. It deletes the education loan counseling program and the tax credit to employers that provide education loan repayment assistance to employees. The Dash 3 amendment leaves intact the subtraction from taxable income for amount taxpayer paid on student loan interest and college savings plan provisions. The bill has minimal fiscal impact. It was issued a revenue light, and there's a subsequent referral to the House Committee on Revenue by prior reference.
So this is one that had a package of ideas for reducing student debt, but that's been pared down somewhat. And minimal fiscal, you said?
Yeah, minimal fiscal impact, and there is revenue impact. It was issued a revenue light at the time.
Okay. That sounds pretty good. I did open that, right? I did. And we heard that. And I think we're ready to go.
Okay. The Chair Reardon, I move to adopt the Dash 3 amendment dated 4/13/2017.
Okay. Rep. Alonzo Leon moves to adopt the Dash 3 amendment dated 4/13/2017. Any discussion? Okay. No objections. The amendment is adopted.
Chair Reardon, I move HB 2929 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the House Committee on Revenue by prior reference.
Thank you. Rep. Alonzo Leon moves House Bill 2929 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that it be referred to the House Committee on Revenue by prior reference. Any discussion on that? Rep. Johnson.
Mr. Chair, I'll be a no on this bill today. I appreciate the intent. I certainly want to do everything we can do to alleviate student debt or help students with that debt issue, but I really think this is a much more complicated formula to get there. There are other legislative vehicles in the building that deal with tax credits or tax deductions and so forth off of a person's individual return that I think are far simpler and would involve less accounting and so forth for the government to take, be a part of. So I'll be a no, but okay. Appreciate the concept.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Clerk, please call the roll.
Representative Smith? Aye. Representative Hurd? Aye. Representative Johnson? No. Representative Repke? No. Representative Solomon? Aye. Vice Chair Longley? Aye. Vice Chair Wissett? No. Chair Reardon? Aye.
The motion passes. Bill is sent as amended to the House Committee on Revenue. And I'm closing the work session on House Bill 2929. Two more. Okay, I'm opening a work session on House Bill 3423. And Laura, please read the... read the summary, please.
Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3423 would exempt persons serving in the Oregon National Guard from requirement to enroll in community college courses within 6 months of attaining previous highest level of education in order to qualify for the Oregon Promise Grant. There is a Dash 2 amendment posted on OLIS. It clarifies that in order to qualify for the grant, the member must enroll in community college courses within 6 months of completing initial active duty training, as evidenced by an official form. There's no revenue impact. There is minimal fiscal impact. Act and no subsequent committee referral.
Okay.
Chair Reardon, okay. I move to adopt the Dash 2 amendment dated 4/14/2017.
Okay. Rep. Alonzo Leon moves to adopt the Dash 2 amendment dated 4/14/2017. Any discussion? Rep. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to explain the amendment here. If you recall back when we first heard the bill, there was some concern about the original draft language, which I think talked about creating a priority enrollment process for National Guard or folks, kids that might be interested in going to the National Guard after graduating from high school. We didn't want to leave in language talking about creating priority enrollments because that really has been something we have tried to stay away from with regards to the Oregon Promise. So I think we found a very good way forward here that just simply says, you know, what the circumstances could be. I think it meets the needs of our high school graduates who would choose to take the pathway of going to the National Guard, but I think it gets them what they're looking for, and I still think and protects the integrity of the Oregon Promise. So thanks for your time and patience and waiting for us to get this worked out.
Thank you for your work on that as well. Anybody else?
Okay. Chair Reardon, I move HB 3423. Just kidding.
Oh, excuse me, just a second.
Do the amendment first.
Yep. I'm not used to working so many bills so quickly here. So if there are no objections, the amendment is adopted.
Now I can go.
Okay.
Chair Reardon, I move HB 3423 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Rep. Alonzo Leon moves House Bill 3423 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? I just wanted to mention one thing is, we had specifically not wanted to open the door to other people who might also, or other groups that might also want this sort of treatment. We thought it was really important for military. I have been approached by others, and we had another bill for another group. Not what we're trying to do here. We're really limited to military supporting their work. We just don't have enough funds to do Oregon Promise the way we might like to do it anyway. So just saying, if you have bill concepts out there on this subject, please don't give them to me. Okay, now I'm ready.
Take them to see somebody else, right? And who would that be? No, you want to keep them here.
Well, all right, now I think. Any further discussion? Seeing none, clerk will call a roll.
Keep walking. Let me see you in the hall.
Aye.
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 Representative
Brushkey?
Aye.
Representative
Solman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lanziano?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Wizard?
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. And Rep. Johnson, did you want to carry that or give it to Eskool?
I'd be happy to. Thank
you. Okay. Rep. Johnson has the honors. And closing a work session on House Bill 3423. Opening a work session on House Bill 2313. Laura, if we could do the honors on that one.
Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2313 would revise types of programs considered accelerated college credit programs by eliminating 2+2 programs and adding sponsored dual credit programs and assessment-based learning programs. There's a -5 amendment. It expands types of programs considered accelerated college credit programs by including any high school programs that provide educational experiences at a post-secondary institution of education for the purpose of providing high school students with the opportunity to earn college credit while in high school. It also creates a task force on accelerated learning. There's no revenue impact. There was a fiscal issue due to the inclusion of the task force in the -5 amendment, and the committee referral is joint ways and means.
Oh, okay. And what was the fiscal?
It was issued due to the inclusion of a task force. The fiscal impact of the bill is indeterminate.
Okay. Sounds fine. Thank you.
Chair Reardon, I move to adopt the -5 amendment dated 4/13/2017. Into House Bill 2313.
Thank you. Rep. Wisnett moves to adopt the -5 amendment dated 4/13/2017. Any discussion? Rep. Johnson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I just want to make sure the committee knows that we did get language into the -5 amendments that ensure that as this task force is working on expanding dual credit opportunities, that there's going to be in some process of aligning that K-12 work with the bill we just passed, the 2998 here about student transfer and so forth. So this task force will be looking at ways to make sure that any of these new dual credits, that whatever pathway, however we accomplish that, that there is alignment to make sure that that new common core bucket of credits that we just were talking about are the trajectory for these new credits that are going to be created at the K-12 level. So I think we've begun the process of aligning those works between K-12 and post-secondary.
Yeah, and I know you thought about trying to combine those two bills. This was much simpler this way, but definitely the intent is there to do,
exactly.
To align the whole system. So, so that's great. Again, appreciate your work on that. If there's any objections to this amendment? If not, amendment is adopted.
Chair Reardon, I move House Bill 2313 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you. Rep. Wisnett moves House Bill 2313 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation that it be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Any discussion? You guys must be ready to get out of here. Roll call, please.
Representative Bynum?
Aye.
Representative Clem?
Aye.
Representative
Johnson?
Aye.
Representative
Rushkin?
Aye.
Representative
Bynum?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Distracted. Motion passes. Bill is sent as amended to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. I'm closing work session on House Bill 2313. And if it's all right with everybody, I will close the meeting of House Higher Ed and Workforce Development Committee. Good job, everybody. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Thank you. Good job, everybody. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Thank you.